Thank you for joining us for our broadcast today. My name is Ben Bailey.
An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, the priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end? Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 30 and 31. Welcome to our study of Back to the Bible. In the days of Israel, the people had stopped listening to God. They had started listening to those who would tickle their ears, who would tell them whatever they wanted to hear, smooth things. And God says, there's a horrible thing happening. My people are buying into it. And here's the haunting question. God says, what will they do in the end? When destruction comes, when the final day happens, will that message help them? Of course, the answer is a resounding no. The only way we can be right with God in the final day is to make sure that we're living our life by the Bible. As we think today about going back to the Bible, one of the main areas that we need to go back to the Bible for is for Christian living. Oh, how we need living. Living like Christ lived, or living that is according to the will of God, and daily Christian living. The Bible says that the way we live has a powerful example on those around us. Remember Matthew 5, verse 16? Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Our lifestyle brings glory and honor to the name of God. Jesus said it this way in Luke 9:23. If any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. If we're really going to be right with God, we've got to deny self. We've got to say to ourselves that this life is not about me. We've got to take up our cross, and we've got to follow in the footsteps of Jesus each and every day. The Christian's ideal is to walk in the footsteps of Christ. 1 Peter 2, verse 22. His mindset is to have the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. And in the words of Jesus' mother Mary in John 2, verse 5, the motto for the Christian ought to be, whatever he, Jesus, says to you, do it. I think of the words of Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Paul said, I beg you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How's the Christian to live his life? Not like the dead sacrifices of the Old Testament, but as a living sacrifice each and every day. Well, what does that really mean? Let's use Paul as an example. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2, verse 20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. True Christian living is when we say to ourselves, life's not about you, your desires, and what you want. You're not here to chase your goals. We're here to please the Lord and do as he has taught us in the New Testament. And all of this is motivated by the great love of God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, the love of Christ compels us because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but live for him who died for them and rose again. The fact that Jesus came to this earth, that he left that beautiful place called heaven, that he came to earth and that he willingly went to the cross and died for me, friends, that ought to motivate us to want to live each and every day for Jesus. As Jesus himself said, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. Revelation 9, Revelation 2 and verse 10. We've got to realize that we can't have other first in this life outside of Christianity. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Paul said, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And we've got to have that single-minded focus for following Christ. Do you remember the words of Matthew chapter 5 and Luke chapter 9, verse 62? Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom. When you put your hand to the plow, when you commit yourself to Christianity, you've got to remain focused on Jesus, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, and you've got to run the race with endurance. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. And so for us to go back to the Bible, we must commit ourselves to daily Christian living. So many in the world claim to be followers of Christ. They act like, they dress like, to an extent, Christians, but when it comes right down to it, are they living the way Christ lived each and every day? Another area in which we need to go back to the Bible for is for studying the Scriptures. Oh, how we need to be a people of the book. Paul said to Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, it's the truth that makes us free. John chapter 8, verse 32. It's the truth that we've got to purchase and never sell. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23. And it is God's word that is the ultimate source of all religious truth. John 17, verse 17. And how we need to make sure that we know the truth and that we're living our life according to the truth of God. In the Old Testament, God's people didn't always do that. Do you remember Hosea 4, verse 6? God said to Israel, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. May it never be said of us that we were destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We've got to prove all things, hold fast that which is good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. What do we mean by daily Christian living as it relates to going back to the Bible for Bible study? The best example ever is found in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Of the Bereans, it is said, these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Here are people who had a mind that God was pleased with. What did they do? Well, you can imagine the scenario. Paul comes to the house in Berea. He knocks on the door and he says, I've got a message from God. Well, how did they receive Paul? Did they slam the door in his face? No. They received it with all readiness of mind. That means they said to Paul, come in, sit down. Paul sat down across the table from him. He gave him the spill about Christ and Christianity. But here's what made these people different. They said, Paul, we've heard what you had to say. We appreciate you coming by today. Now we're going to take what you said and we're going to check it by the book. They searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Friends, more people in this world need the mindset and the mentality, we're not going to accept everything we hear. There are so many in this world who are teaching things for false motives, and you've got to be careful what you hear. 1 John 4, verses 1 through 4 says that we've got to test the spirits to see whether they are God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. We need to check it by the book and make sure that it's true to the will of God. We need more people like Ezra. Ezra the scribe prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach all its statutes and judgments in all Israel. Friend, are you going back to the Bible and studying the Scriptures regularly? Ask yourself, do I really study the Bible on a regular daily basis? Do I really study the Bible regularly? If not, why not? Could there be anything more important for you spiritually than studying the Scriptures? If you're not studying the Bible regularly for yourself, then make a determination to do that. Make up your mind. I'm going to set apart a time. I'm going to put everything to the side. I'm going to turn off the phone. I'm going to turn off the TV. And I'm going to set apart a time so that I can study the Word of God to make sure that I'm right with God. And friend, here's what I'll promise you. If you'll give yourself to serious Bible study and have the heart to do what it says, the Scripture says in 1 John 5, verses 13 through 16, these things I've written to you that you may know you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. If you read the Bible, if you do what it says, it'll be impossible for you not to go to heaven. Now, meaning, you've got to take God at His Word, you've got to put aside all prejudice and bias, and you've got to say to yourself, this is God's Word, I'm going to do what it says, I'm going to go back to the Bible and make sure that I'm right with God. Another area in which we need to go back to the Bible is concerning sin and its destructive nature. Sin is that word that none of us really like to talk about, but that all of us need to hear about. Joel Osteen, a popular religious charlatan, is famous for saying in an interview that the way he made his religious group profit and prosper so much is that he never mentions the word sin. How sad it is that we've come to the point where we don't even want to hear about sin. Sin is something that we must deal with in a God-approved way. What's God say about sin? The Bible says that sin is destructive. The soul that sins shall surely die. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4. The wages, the salary of sin is death. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Sin is that which separates a man from God. Isaiah said, the Lord's ear is not shortened, or the Lord's arm is not shortened that he cannot save. His ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. What's the problem? God doesn't need a hearing aid, and God doesn't have a defective arm. Your sins and your iniquities have separated you from your God. All of us have to deal with sin. For Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Ecclesiastes writer Solomon said, there's not a righteous man on the face of the earth who does good and does not sin. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20. From the moment the door of sin was opened in Genesis chapter 3, each one of us has walked through that door by our own decision. Through one man sin entered into the world and thus death to all men. Listen, because all have sinned. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. And friend, realize this today. A life of sin is the hardest life you could ever live. The proverb writer said it so succinctly in Proverbs 13, verse 15. The way of the transgressor is hard. You will never find a harder, more disappointing, heartbreaking life than a life of sin. We learn from Genesis 4, verse 7, that Satan is doing everything he can to tempt us. He's like that roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, 1 Peter 5, 8. And Genesis 4, verse 7, God said, sin lies at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master or conquer it. We can win the battle against sin. We can overcome its destructive nature and its consequences, but there's only one way you can. The only way to defeat sin is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. He's the way that we overcome the devil. Revelation 12, verse 11, they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto the death. By the blood of Jesus, that's where we're washed from sin. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. Have you contacted the blood of Jesus Christ? Are you sure that you've gone back to the Bible to deal with the sin problem? How does one become a New Testament Christian? The plan in the New Testament is very simple. People who wanted to obey the gospel first heard God's word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Those people then who heard the word believed in Jesus Christ. They believed that he was the Son of God. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But belief alone didn't save them. They also had to repent. They were told to repent and turn again. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. They had to make that good confession. Romans chapter 10 verse 10. And they had to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins. It's so sad today that so many people claim to be Christians and yet they've not even done what the Bible says you must do to contact the blood of Jesus. Now think about this. If there's no forgiveness without the shedding of blood, Hebrews 9:22, then at whatever point I contact the blood of Jesus, that's the point I'm saved. Well, let's look at Saul's example. Acts 22:16, Saul is told, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. What did Saul do to become a Christian? He was baptized. Friend, have you gone back to the Bible? We're begging you, we're pleading with you today. Won't you go back to the Bible and become a Christian and nothing more? May God help us to go back to the Scriptures.